Okay. In the following sentences, please state what is presupposed. We're going to look for the major presuppositional construction. I know there's many presuppositions in there, such as presuppositions of existence and so on and so forth, but we're going to look for the major presuppositional construction. On page 2-4. Number one, if the cat meows again, I'll have to put him outside. Major presuppositional construction is cause and effect. If that's an implied causative if-then type statement. If the cat meows again, then I'll have to put him outside. Number two, it was her friendly smile that made me walk up and say hi. Complex equivalence. There's actually a couple of them there. The friendly smile. Oh, it's actually, you know what? She's Ananda's right. Cause and effect is the major. Friendly smile is complex equivalence, but the major construction would be cause and effect. It was a friendly smile that made me walk up and say hi. Yeah, very good. Made me. The tip-off is the word made in the sentence. Number three, if only he had come home on time, the party wouldn't have gotten out of control. It's actually cause and effect, right on, Ananda. If only he had come home on time, then the party wouldn't have gotten out of control. Way to go, Ananda. Look at you go. Yeah. Number four, people have always given me more to do than I can handle. Always, yes, always. What is that a presupposition of? There's a presupposition of time. There's also a complex equivalence. More to do than I can handle is also a complex equivalence. So you could go either way. They're placing meaning on something. Anytime the meaning is placed on something, that's complex equivalence. I would say a presupposition of time, also a presupposition of complex equivalence. I could go either one on that one. Yeah, I'm all right with either one.
I mean, it can be more than one, right?
Sure. Yeah, we're looking for the major ones, but we could go either one on that. Number five, his easygoing personality is good PR for our company. Complex equivalence is actually the correct one. There's two of them in there. Lost performative, I like that you put that in there, John, but it's lost performative. We would think of that more from a Milton and metamodel perspective rather than presuppositions, but I'm glad that you threw that out. That would be a lost performative, yeah. That is a who says. So while it is a lost performative, it's also that's a little bit ahead of the game, ahead of where we're at right now. Easygoing and good PR are the complex equivalences. Number six, stop watching over your shoulder.
What's
time and awareness? I would say, yeah, both of those. Time and awareness. Stop is a presupposition, is a temporal presupposition. And watching is awareness.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. Number seven, only you can learn this. It's possibility and exclusive or. It was either one. I think exclusive or is probably the major construction, whereas possibility is also clearly in there. But only you is an exclusive or without the or. Yeah.
Can
being possibility. Yeah. You got it. You got it. Number eight, either she goes to the store or I do. Let's see. We'd actually call it an inclusive or. Inclusive because you're excluding any other possibilities of her or I. Whereas an inclusive or would include other possibilities. Like if
she, I, or the rest of the party.
Yeah, well, if we say either she goes to the store or we do something else.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Number nine, first the winds came, then the rain.
Ordinal.
Yeah, it's a list. One thing follows the other. Number 10, opera makes me want to cry. Cause and effect.
Makes me.
Okay, let's look at the next step. Let's turn to page 2-5 and talk for a moment about embedded commands because we're talking about language. We did a lot of study on how to deliver an embedded command that produces a result. These ones were tested in the armed forces with the generals in the army. What they found was that if you deliver an embedded command in a certain order and sequence, that it had a better tendency of producing results. So here's how you would deliver an embedded command that produces results. There's two elements. First is the means of how to do what you want them to do. And you would want to give them two times, or give them two words that tell them how they would do it. And then one time is the end, what to do. It's one word. So two times the means, one time the end. For example, I'm wondering if you can stand up, walk over, and close the door. Notice that the embedded command is to close the door, but I'm giving you two ways to do it. Stand up, walk over, and close the door. The key is three in a single sentence, and your embedded command is going to be delivered lower and louder. So, for example, I've been to seminars where I hear them say, I wonder if you could pick up your pens, or take your pen, open up your manual, and write down what I'm about to say. Yeah. Take your pen, open your manual, and write down what I'm about to say. Yeah, two means of how to do it, and then one final command of what to do specifically. I'm wondering if you can just open up your manual, take your pen, and write this down.
So if you wanted someone to change, you'd say, I'm wondering if you could just stop and then take a breath before you took action.
Yeah.
That would be it?
Yeah, and the embedded command would be a very specific, direct command.
Before you screamed at anybody.
Right, so what you might say is... because you want to leave the internal representation that you want to leave them with, specifically linguistically with your language. So what I would say is, I wonder if you could just stop, take a deep breath, and relax. That would be an embedded command to relax.
Every time you feel an urge to.
Yeah, every time you feel, yeah. So the next time you come into that situation, you can just stop, take a deep breath, and relax. The steps, it says, decide on your outcome, what you want the client to do, develop the sentence, deliver it, and calibrate for results or the outcome, and deliver it congruently. So when you deliver embedded commands, you want to make sure that it's delivered in a way which is congruent. Okay, I know I'm giving you a bunch of pieces of a bunch of stuff, but pretty soon, we're going to... Yeah, pretty soon, it's sure not to make sense, yeah. Just kidding. Okay. Let's take a look at page 29. In a moment, we're going to do an exercise that comes to us from John Overdorf and Julie Silverthorne. Here's an advanced presuppositional process. Okay, this is taking everything that we've been talking about. We've been putting a lot of bits and pieces of information out there. Now we're going to take everything, all those pieces, the heart of quantum linguistics, we're going to put it together to do a process. So here's the process. It says, the purpose of this process is to learn how to just loosen the client's model of the world, not necessarily to solve the problem, which you may do anyway, by undercutting the original presupposition. So the process is simple. Step one, identify the most basic presuppositions. So client gives you a problem. You're going to ask, how is this a problem now? Okay, remember I stated before that a problem well stated is a problem half solved? So client's going to give you a problem. You want to know how it's a problem. So you say, how is this a problem now? And then you're going to identify all the presuppositions in that sentence. Then you're going to determine which ones will have the greatest effect on the problem. And you're going to structure your response as a question and presuppose a solution in the question. It says how? By doing a mind read on what solution will work and asking a question that presupposes it. Bring the presuppositions into consciousness, restate the problem, and ask the question. For example, presenting problem. Husband says, I get pissed off at my wife every time I come home and see the kids' toys all over the floor. Process. You just go out just past the resolution, look at the ecology, and then ask them a question about ecology. The response is, what are you going to do with all that time when you see the toys in place? Or, how good will your wife feel when you only get pissed off at the kids? Or, how good will your wife feel when the room's clean? So let me give you the steps of this, how you do this. The steps would be, first off, you need to get the problem. So client's going to give you a problem. And you're going to say, how is this a problem now? Because you want to get the problem in a nutshell. A problem well stated is a problem half solved. Once you understand how it's a problem, and you've got it, and you're like, okay, I get how that's a problem, I've got it, then you're going to send, for this exercise we're going to do, you're going to send the client away, and you're going to come up with some sort of a response to that problem. Okay, you're going to look at your problem, you're going to notice all the underlying presuppositions inherent in the problem statement. And by the way, when you do this, I want you to write down the client's problem word for word.